verse number 1. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We know this is the day that you have made. And I pray you'd help us to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for each person that's turned out for the service today. Thank you for them being here. And I pray that you would speak to each heart, that, Lord, you'd change every life. I pray when we leave here today, we can all say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Please help us now in these next moments to keep our attention on your word, to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. Lord, we thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you that you did come into this world, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and rose from the dead so we could have eternal life as a free gift. We thank you for that hope and the promise we have. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As you all know, this Wednesday is the first day of a brand new year. 2019 will come to an end, and 2020 will begin. And that fact simply reinforces the reality that time marches on. Time doesn't stop for anyone. The days, the weeks, the months, and the years continue to roll on by. We have things that happen in our lives. We have great things, wonderful things, things that cause us to be happy, joyous, times of celebration, and then we have tragedies. We have hardship, disappointment, heartbreaks. We experience all of these things, but time marches on. It stops for nobody. I remember talking to somebody earlier this year, back early on in the year, and we were talking about how fast time goes by. And I said to them, I said, before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving, then it'll be Christmas, and this year be gone. That's right where we are this morning. Thanksgiving and Christmas are now a thing of the past for this year, and we are right now on the threshold of a brand new year. None of us have any earthly idea what's going to happen in the days to come. None of us. But there are certain things that we can be assured of. Many promises we've been given in the Word of God that will not change, irregardless of what happens in this new year. But since we are about to embark on a new year, a new journey, you might say, I'm going to preach a message this morning titled, All Things New. All Things New. And I want to get started by saying that Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 19 teaches that the book of Revelation divides into three main sections: past, present, and future. The Lord Jesus there in that verse describes these as the things which thou hast seen, That's Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, and that's the past. Then the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3, and that would have been the present for John, who was receiving this revelation. And then the things which shall be hereafter, which are chapters 4 through 22, and that obviously is the future. So the bulk of the book deals with the future. And this is why Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 1 and also chapter 22 and verse number 10 calls Revelation a prophecy. Because the majority of the book deals with the future. And the verses that we just read here in chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, are a part of the things which shall be hereafter. They're a part of the future. They are a part of what is yet to come for those of us who are saved. And in verse number 5, the last verse that we read, the Lord says, I make all things new. Mention some of the promises that we have in the Word of God. These exceeding great and precious promises, as Simon Peter says. To me, this is one of the greatest promises in the Bible for the people of God. There's coming a day out in the future when our God is going to make all things, not some things, not most things, but He's going to make all things new. What a day that's going to be when after the rapture and after the judgment seat of Christ and the tribulation, the second advent, Armageddon, the millennium and the white throne judgment, the Lord is going to make all things new. What I want to do here in the next few moments is use the context of this statement. And I could go to other places in the Bible and show you certain things, but I want to stay right here in the context this morning, and I want to show you from this passage three specific things that the Lord is going to make new. First of all, I want to say this. The world that we live in will be made new. The world that we live in will be made new. And when I say the world, I'm talking about planet Earth, obviously. There are a lot of planets out in the solar system, but this is the one that we live on. Sometimes I wonder if some of the people who occupy this planet are really with us. And I often wonder if maybe they didn't come from another planet to this planet because of some of the weird things they believe. But I'm talking about planet Earth, I'm talking about where we live, and I'm talking about the heaven above us. That's what I mean when I say the world we live in. And if you'll look here at Revelation chapter 21, in verse number 1, you'll understand why I say this. It says in verse number 1, John says, and I saw a new heaven, a new heaven. God said, I'm going to make all things new. One thing He's going to make new is the world we live in, because John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why do we need a new heaven and a new earth? Well, look at what he says. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Passed away is terminology that we often use when describing someone that has died, somebody that's lived this life and gone into the next. We say they passed away. According to what I read here in the Bible, there's coming a day when the world we live in is going to pass away. This earth, the heaven above, is going to pass away. How is that going to come about? How is it going to come about that this world and the heaven above is going to pass away? Well, hold your place right here. We'll come back in just a moment. I want you to go back to the book of 2 Peter with me for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to start reading with me in verse number 10. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. There's that same terminology. Shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Elements. Have y'all ever looked at a periodic table of the elements? Y'all ever looked at that before? I've looked at it. Don't ask me to name any of them. But I've looked at it. There's a whole lot of them. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. How is the first heaven and the first earth going to pass away? Well, it's pretty simple. The Lord's going to burn them up. The Lord's going to do it. The Lord's going to burn up the heavens. He's going to burn up the earth. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Twice in the passage it talks about how all these things that we know are going to be dissolved. That's one reason why you and I don't ever need to get too attached to anything down here on this earth. Isn't it amazing how attached people become to material things, to worldly things, to things that are just temporal? It's amazing. I mean, you'll see whole families that'll fight and bust up over an inheritance that somebody left behind when they passed away and went on to the next life. It's absolutely amazing how attached we get to stuff. And here's the reality. All of this stuff down here that we get so attached to, stuff that people will get mad about and fight over and argue over, all of it one day is going up in smoke. Don't ever get too attached to anything down here, because nothing is going to last. Every bit of it down here I'm talking about. Everything down here is going to be burned up. You see these people today that talk about saving the earth and saving the planet. They talk about how we're destroying the ozone layer, and they get all bent out of shape because of garbage that gets thrown out by the road and all of the different contaminants that are in our world today. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we ought to be nasty people and try to junk up the world and not care about certain things. But here's reality this morning, which is where we need to live. We need to get out of the twilight zone and live in reality. Reality is this: irregardless of what mankind does, mankind is not going to save the planet. This planet is destined to be burned up. Going to pass away. So in spite of man's best efforts, it's not going to last. I've had people ask me in the past before if I believe in global warming. I absolutely believe in global warming. I can assure you, based on what I just read, it's going to get real hot around here. I mean it. But it ain't going to be because we burn a hole in the ozone layer and the sun's rays burn up the earth. It's going to be because God Almighty burns this place up. At the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heaven and earth shall pass away, because he's going to burn them up. They're going to be gone. But here's a great thing that I want you to notice here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, nevertheless, we, that's us saved people, not lost people, but us saved people, we according to his promise. Look at it now. Look for new heavens and a new earth. The first ones are going to pass away. But this God that makes all things new, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And here's the wonderful thing, last part of verse number 13. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. I mean, let's be real about it. There's not a whole lot of righteousness left in this world today. Whole lot of unrighteousness, whole lot of wickedness, just bad stuff all around. Brother Gene and I still get together on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and have prayer in the back room, and we often talk about different things. We were talking this morning about some of the crazy stuff that's happened over just the last few days. He was mentioning to me about some people going into that place there, that Jewish place, and cutting people and stabbing people. And some crazy people in this world today. A lot of bad stuff going on. But here's the promise that God's given us. One day he's going to make all things new. And one day he's going to burn up this earth and the heaven, and he's going to make us a new heaven and a new earth. And in that earth and in that heaven will dwell only righteousness. All of this mess will be gone. What a day that's going to be. Go back to Revelation chapter 21 now. Let's look at a second thing here that the Lord is going to make new. Not only is he going to make the world we live in new, but I want to say secondly, the whereabouts of God's people will be made new. The whereabouts of God's people will be made new. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 2. John says, I saw the holy city, notice, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You have earthly Jerusalem. If you read your Bible, you know that that's a very significant place on this planet down here. It's a very significant place to God. That is the place that God chose for himself, the place that he chose to put his name. It's very important to the Jewish nation. David established it as his headquarters whenever he became the king of Israel, the second king of Israel. Throughout history, that place has been very significant. It's going to continue to be significant as time goes on. In the Bible, you read how during the tribulation, it's going to be a focus of the Antichrist. He will eventually make his way to Jerusalem and take over and go into the temple and sit down on the throne of David and profess himself to be God. So Jerusalem on this earth is a significant place in the past. It's a significant place in prophecy. But what John sees here is not the Jerusalem that is on this earth. He sees a new Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem that he says comes down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And if you read on through this chapter and through the second chapter, you see this city described. Man, what a beautiful place. Y'all ever read those two chapters? What a beautiful place. It's a city of pure gold. Pure gold. The whole place is pure gold. It has a wall great and high, the Bible says. A wall that has 12 gates, and every gate is made of a pearl. It has 12 foundations that are garnished with all manner of precious stones, the Bible says. It's got one street that runs throughout this city. There's a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, the Bible says, that proceeds out of the throne of God. These are just some of the things that are said about this New Jerusalem. I thought about it as I was reading and studying for the message. New Jerusalem ought to appeal to women if it appeals to nobody. Amen. Gold, pearls, precious stones. You talk about bling, ladies. There it is. What a beautiful place. You read through these things and you just, I don't know, I've told you before, when I read things in the Bible, I just get this image in my mind of what certain things look like, what certain people look like. And as I read this, I get this image of this place. What a wonderful, glorious, beautiful place, this New Jerusalem. But I want to tell you in the next moments here three things that mean the most to me about this city. Number one, this is top of the list above everything else. The Savior is there. That's what means more to me than anything that I read. More than the wall of jasper, the gates of pearl, the beautiful precious stones, the beautiful river that's there. More than any of that stuff, just the fact, the knowledge that my Savior is there. That means more to me than anything. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse number 22. The Bible says there, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb You know who that lamb is, don't you? That's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb is the light thereof. Look at chapter 22, verse number 3. The Bible says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Thing that means the most to me is the fact that my Savior is there. Here's a second thing that means a lot to me when I think about this city. That is the fact that sin isn't there. Sin isn't there. Look here in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 27. The Bible says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look at that promise there. In this city, it says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. That shows you the great contrast between the New Jerusalem and the earthly Jerusalem. There was a whole lot of stuff that went on in the earthly Jerusalem that was really bad. Matter of fact, and I found it interesting, I was reading just this morning in my own personal Bible time in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. And in that chapter, the Lord, through the prophet Ezekiel, is addressing the city of Jerusalem and all of the wicked things that were going on in that city. And some of the very same terminology that you find right here in verse number 27 shows up back in Ezekiel chapter 22 when God is speaking about the earthly Jerusalem. Like, for example, he says in verse 27 here, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. In Ezekiel chapter 22, God talks about how they had defiled, uses that very word, defiled that earthly Jerusalem through their idolatry. Another term that shows up that's here in this verse, he goes on to say here in verse 27, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. In Ezekiel 22, God indicts those people in that city with the different abominations they had brought in. Another thing that he says to them, another thing he confronts them about is their lies and their dishonesty. Look at what it says right here in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. All of that stuff at different times has prevailed in the earthly Jerusalem. But listen to me. None of that stuff will be found anywhere in the New Jerusalem. There'll be no sin in that place. Think about that. Think about it for a moment. A place, an actual place. We're not talking about some imaginary thing. We're not talking about a fairy tale. We're talking about a real city that God is going to send down out of heaven. A real place. And in that place, there will be no sin of any kind. Nothing dirty will be in that place. There'll be no drugs, no alcohol, no pornography, no fornication, no adultery, no abuse, no homosexuality and lesbianism. How do you know that? Well, the Bible says there in verse number 27, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. And homosexuals and lesbians, according to the Bible, are an abomination to God. That's what God says. You know, if you don't like it, you take that up with Him. God said that. I'm never, may not mean a thing to you, does to me, I'm never going to have to worry about walking up to some prissy man that talks and acts like a woman. I'm not going to have to worry about going into a restaurant and sitting down in some, trying to be nice here, some pervert coming over to wait on me. Never going to have to walk up to a woman from behind and think she's a man. Listen to some woman talk and be scared of her. Afraid she might beat me up. Nasty mess. That mess is gone. It's not going to be in the New Jerusalem. Not going to see that stuff. Not going to see idolatry and lewdness. Another thing that he indicted them with in Ezekiel 22 was the shedding of innocent blood, murdering people, killing folks, killing their own children. and offering them up as sacrifices to false gods, killing their own children. Does that sound familiar? Murdering our own children by the thousands right here in the United States, the good old United States of America, by the thousands every day, innocent children are slaughtered out of the wombs of their mothers. People get paid to do that now. If I do something like that, I get locked up in jail for murder. But there are doctors all over this land that get paid to murder babies every day. I won't have to worry about that in New Jerusalem. No more innocent blood. No more extortion. No more lies and dishonesty. No sin is in this place. Why does that matter so much? Well, here's the last thing that I want to say about why this city means so much to me. Not only because the Savior is there and because sin isn't there, but thirdly, because the saints are there. I'm going to live in that place one day. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about home. That's what I'm talking about. Where I'm going one day. Where you're going if you save. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 9. The whereabouts of God's people. My whereabouts is going to change one day. Going home one day. Revelation 21, verse number 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee, look at this, the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know who the bride of Christ is? The church, right? The bride of Christ. He says, come with me and I'm going to show you the bride. Where does he take him? Look at the next verse. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. He said, I'm going to show you the bride. You know what he shows him? He shows him a city, New Jerusalem. You know where that bride is? That bride's in that city. Look at it. Going down in this same chapter to verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Here it is. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Your name in the Lamb's book of life this morning? You know what that does? That gives you access into that city. Look on down to chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse number 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Look at this. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. One thing that the Lord's going to make new is the whereabouts of his people. We're going to get to move into this place one day. I can't wait, can you? Just to leave this old world behind and move into that place. What a glorious, wonderful future the people of God have. I want to give you one other thing this morning that the Lord's going to make new. Not only the world that we live in, the whereabouts of God's people, but last of all, the way of life that we experience is going to be made new. Look back at Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4 with me. Remember, we're in the context of God saying, behold, I make all things new. We've seen a new world in verse 1. We've seen a new whereabouts in verse number 2. Now in verses 3 and 4, we see a new way of life. John says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's heaven enough right there. But look at what he says in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Look at it. For the former things are passed away. Just like the heaven and the earth pass away. All of those things, verse number 4, and the things that cause those are going to pass away. That's the context of verse number 5. Immediately after saying this, the writer says, John says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Just like all of the words of the Bible, these are true words. These are faithful words. We can count on what God has said here. And look at the way of life, verse number 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Not some tears, all tears, all gone. On down in the verse it says there'll be no more crying. Won't be any more death. No more dying. No more sorrow. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. What a way of life, amen. No more heartbreaks. We all have them, don't we? Things that fill our hearts with pain and our eyes with tears. No more heartbreaks. Think about it now, just for a moment, and I won't be done. No more hospitals. Never have to go to a hospital again. No more nursing homes. No more assisted living places. No more ambulances and sirens squealing out in the night going to pick up somebody else, maybe somebody we love. No more wheelchairs. No more crutches. No more walkers. No more doctors. Praise God. No more doctors. No offense to doctors, but what a day it's going to be when we don't need them anymore. What a day. No more doctors. Went and saw a doctor a while back. He said, I'll see you later. I said, I hope not. Don't like going to the doctor. No more saying goodbye. No more picking out caskets. No more funeral homes. No more funerals. No more losing somebody that we love with all of our heart. No more sickness of any kind. No more cancer. Ain't that wonderful? No more heart attacks. No more strokes. No more heart disease. No more diabetes. I can eat whatever I want to. No more colds and flus, sinus infections. No more homeless people. No more orphan children. No more widows. No more widowers. No more divorces. I'm talking about a whole new way of life. That's what we have in our future as God's people. If you're here today and you're saved, again, I don't have any idea what this next year holds for you. But I do know some things that are out in your future, amen. And irregardless of what happens in the days to come, we have reason to rejoice. Reason to be happy. Reason to celebrate. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, first of all, I feel very sorry for you. I don't mean sorry like I think I'm better than you. I just feel sorry for you because you don't experience and you don't have the joy I have in my life because you don't have that relationship with the Lord and you don't have the assurance in your heart that the saved people in this building have here today. And I can't imagine why you'd want to leave here without being a part of God's family. Why don't we all bow our heads now as we get ready for our invitation? If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, won't you come while we have this time of invitation? I think, Brother Scott, if it's all right with you, we'll just let Ailish play the piano this morning while everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, won't you come this morning? It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Get your name put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Guaranteed that you'll have access to that city, that new place, that new way of life. Won't you come? Those of you that are saved may have a lot on your mind this morning. Stuff you're going through, maybe it's stuff that people you know and love are going through. Hardships, tribulations, some of this stuff I mentioned. Just know there's coming a day when all of that stuff's going to be gone. A whole new way of life. The years I've been in the ministry, I've done many funerals. I don't even know how many funerals I've done now. And I know if I keep living, I got many more to do. And it may not mean anything to you, but I'm glad there's coming a day when I'll never have to do another funeral.